This morning, we're going to be looking at two different stories in the Bible. They're very similar to each other. One is from Luke chapter 5, and the other is from John chapter 21. These stories are similar, but one happens at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. Luke chapter 5, Jesus calls his disciples to come and follow him. And in John 21, it's after the resurrection, and it's the third time that Jesus reveals himself to his disciples post-resurrection. And there's a few lessons that we can learn in light of the differences of these stories as well as the resurrection of Christ. And so this morning, we're going to begin with reading Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. As the crowd was pressing in on Jesus to hear God's word, he was standing by Lake Gennesaret. He saw two boats at the edge of the lake. The fishermen had left them and were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, which belonged to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the land. Then he sat down and was teaching the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." "Master," Simon replied, "we've worked hard all night long and caught nothing, but at your word, I'll let down the nets." When they did this, they caught a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, because I am a sinful man, Lord." For he and all those with him were amazed at the catch of fish they took. And so were James and John, Zebedee's sons, who were Simon's partners. "Don't be afraid," Jesus told Simon. "From now on, you will be catching people." Then they brought the boats to land, left everything, and followed him. Now let's look at John chapter 21, 1 through 14. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. He revealed himself in this way: Simon Peter, Thomas, called Twin, Nathanael from Cana of Galilee, Zebedee's sons, and two others of his disciples were together. "I'm going fishing," Simon Peter said to them. "We're coming with you," they told him. They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. When daybreak came, Jesus stood on the shore. However, the disciples did not know it was Jesus. "Men," Jesus called to them, "you don't have any fish, do you?" "No," they answered. "Cast the net on the right side of the boat," he told them, "and you'll find some." So they did. And they were unable to haul it in because of the large number of fish. Therefore, the disciple, the one who Jesus loved, said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he tied his outer garment around him, for he was stripped, and plunged into the sea. But since they were not far from land, about 100 yards away, the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish. When they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire there, with fish lying on it and bread. "Bring some of the fish you've caught," Jesus told them. So Simon Peter got up and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. Even though there were so many, the net was not torn. "Come and have breakfast," Jesus told them. None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them. He did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now, it's interesting to me that we see the story take place twice. It's a very similar story. Both times, the disciples are out fishing. They've caught nothing, which, if you're a fisherman, is not good. Catching nothing is very boring. And Jesus comes along, and he tells them, "Cast your net," or "Cast your net on the other side." And they bring in a huge load of fish. Now, in John chapter 21, verse 25, it tells that Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them was written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have enough room for the books that would be written. So why this story twice? Why does Jesus do essentially the same miracle a second time? He already proved he could do it. But there's some similarities in meanings in these two stories that, especially when we look at them in light of the resurrection, really show us something powerful. And so the first thing that the story shows us is that the resurrected Jesus still calls you. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus calls Peter for the first time. He says, come and follow me. And Peter leaves everything behind. He has a huge catch. Such a big catch that the two boats began to sink. Now, they might not have been using the biggest boats, but that takes a lot of fish. It takes a lot of fish to sink a boat. I wish I caught enough fish to sink a boat. Man, that's a good day on the lake. But no, he leaves it behind. He leaves behind the fish and all that it's worth. He leaves behind the boat, his nets, whatever else they used, leaves it all behind and follows Jesus. But in John chapter 21, it's a little bit different for Peter. It's been about 3 years. And Peter's had some ups and downs in those 3 years. He's had the times where he's confessed that Jesus is the Messiah, that he knows who Jesus is, and other people are still figuring it out. And yet the last week or so hasn't been Peter's brightest moments, right? He's cut off a guy's ear. He's denied Christ. He's ran. He's hid. And Jesus has returned, but in the midst of it, Peter finds himself going back to what's familiar, to what he knows. He's followed Jesus for 3 years, but here he is back to fishing. He's gone back to what he knows, but Jesus shows up and he calls Peter again. In light of the resurrection, Peter's calling isn't canceled, it's confirmed. Sometimes people think that they're too far gone or drifted too far. But the same Jesus who called you then is still calling you now. Because Jesus rose, his call didn't end. It's still going and it's extended to all of us. You see, there's two calls in the life of every believer. The first call is the call of salvation. And it's that moment that Jesus calls you out of your old life, out of your sin, and he says, come, follow me. But there's a second call, and we see it in John 21, and that is to vocation. And it's, go and live for me. You've come and followed me, but now you need to go and live for me. In Luke 5, Peter is called out of his old life, and now in John chapter 21, he's called back into his purpose. Peter's failures didn't cancel out either one. Some of you have answered the first call. You know Jesus. You've given him your life, but you've drifted from the second call of vocation. You've, in a sense, gone back to your nets. But the same Jesus who died on a cross and rose from the dead, who called you to salvation, is still calling you to live like it matters. Jesus is calling you not to just believe, but to follow. The second thing that we see here is that the resurrected Jesus still works in your emptiness. In both stories, the disciples have been fishing all night and have caught absolutely nothing. Now, these men are not amateurs. They are professionals at what they do. And likely, James and John are with their father who was a fisherman. They're not first-generation fishermen. They have spent their entire lives learning on boats how to fish on that specific body of water. And Jesus, at this point in the story, at the beginning of them, they don't know who he is. They don't know Jesus is Jesus at the first time. And the second time, they don't know who it is from shore talking to them. And he tells them to try again or try the other side. If you're a pro at something, there is nothing more frustrating than someone who has no idea what they're doing telling you how to do your job, right? That is frustrating. When I was in college as a thrower, we were at a meet. We all had a horrible, all the throwers had a horrible day. I don't know what it was in the water that day, but we all stunk. And the long distance coach comes over and asks us how we did. And we said, not good. And he says, do you guys want to know how to throw better? And we're like, yeah, absolutely, coach. If you've got some kind of insight for us, we'd love to hear it. He goes, just throw farther. Oh, he looked, he just throw farther. Oh, coach, this is not the time for that one. But imagine being the disciples. No luck catching anything. And this guy from shore, remember, they don't realize it's Jesus yet, calls out and goes, did you try the other side? I don't know how I would have responded. I don't know that I would have gone, yeah, let me just take this, let me just throw it on this side. I don't think I would have done that. It would be frustrating. But they obeyed, and it changes everything. Because Jesus shows up in empty nets. Before the resurrection, he had the power to provide. And after the resurrection, he still has the power to provide. Some of us are tired. You've tried, you've worked, you've prayed, and it feels like nothing is happening, that the net is still empty. But the resurrection means that the same power that filled those nets is still at work today. Because he rose, your emptiness is not the end of the story. Number three, the resurrected Jesus redeems what you bring. There's something easy to miss in the difference of these two stories. The first time Jesus calls him, when Jesus calls Peter, he walks away and he leaves everything. This time, Peter goes to do the same. He realizes it's Jesus. He jumps out of the boat. He swims to shore. And yet, when Peter gets there, Jesus tells him, go back and get those fish. Bring them over. Why? Why would he do that? He already has fish on the fire. Jesus doesn't need these fish from Peter. But it goes back to point one. When we experienced that initial call, when Jesus called Peter that first time and he says, come, follow me, he leaves everything behind. But once we followed that call, it means that we bring everything to him. When he says, go and live for me, we bring everything to him. In Luke 5, fishing was Peter's old life. It was his livelihood, everything he knew. But in John chapter 21, those same fish now become something that he lays at the feet of Jesus, and they become an offering. Again, Jesus already has fish cooking. He doesn't need them. It's not about Jesus needing something. It's about Peter bringing what he has. Sometimes we think following Jesus means abandoning everything, our work, our skills, our past, our story. But we are resurrected with the resurrected Christ, and we're called to bring it all to him. Now, there are things that need to be left behind. Sin, old patterns, things that pull us from God. But there are things that God wants to redeem. Your gifts, your experiences, and even your past. But pastor, last week, didn't you just say that we're supposed to be totally new, not go back to those graves, not go back to those things? Absolutely. Don't mistake. I'm not talking about going back to those things. What I'm saying is God wants to redeem those things. For example, every recovery kind of ministry that I've known about or worked with, the people who lead them primarily are people who went through recovery for something else. That is God at work redeeming what they've been through. That is God at work redeeming the things of their past, redeeming their story so that they can help others. Your story isn't wasted. You could bring it to God. Your gifts aren't random. You can bring them to God. The resurrection saves us, and it also transforms us and what we bring. The same Jesus who called Peter, the same Jesus who filled empty nets, is the same Jesus who now says, don't just leave it behind, bring it to me. And when I think about that, bringing it to him, he takes the bad things. He takes the things that are no longer of us or of him. And as Psalm 103 says, he casts it as far as the east is from the west. And the rest of it, he redeems for his purpose and his glory. So the question this morning I have for you is, what's in your net? What have you been holding on to that Jesus is asking you to bring? Because the resurrection didn't just change your eternity, it changed what your life now is for. And so Jesus is still calling and working and inviting you. Some of us are staring at empty nets, tired and frustrated and wondering if anything will ever change. Some are holding on to what's in their net, their past, their gift, their stories, and they're unwilling to bring it. But because Jesus rose from the dead, his call didn't end. His power didn't fade, and his invitation to us never stopped. So whatever's in your net, whatever you're holding on to, you can bring it to Jesus. You stand and pray with me this morning. Father, we thank you for these stories from Luke and John. We thank you for the call that you've placed on our lives, the call first to salvation and then the call to vocation, to come and follow you and to go and live for you. Father, this morning I pray that we would be a people who go and who live for you. I pray that we would bring the things that we have and lay them down as an offering. I pray that where we need redemption, redemption would be given. Father, may you redeem the things that you've equipped us with, that we can use them for your purpose and for your glory and for your kingdom. Lord, this morning, may we continue to walk in the light and the joy of the resurrected Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Our benediction this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. Finally, brothers, rejoice, aim for restoration, comfort one another, agree with one another, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for worshiping with us this morning.